People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Unspooled. That solo singing you hear is because, once again, Paul is still away shooting Black Monday, wrapping up season 3. And I miss him terribly. Terribly. We've never gone this long without getting to talk about movies. I'm dying. I need him back, but I also need a really good season 3 of Black Monday. So Paul is tirelessly trying to satisfy everybody's needs, and he will be back. I will say that I do have proof of life. We are texting about how the playoffs are going for our respective teams. I would say that neither one of us are feeling flush with triumph, but we carry on. We marshal forward. It's been a long year. Our players are tired, man. I am crossing all of my fingers and all of my toes that Paul will be back for next week. I really want to get to talking about Contact. I feel like I'm waiting for the aliens to come down and contact me, and we can talk about movies. And now Paul is an alien in this whole analogy, and I hope he's not offended by that. Maybe he wouldn't be. I mean, aliens, they're probably more superior than us in a lot of ways, or they're slime. I'm going to say that Paul is not a slime alien, if he is an alien. Either way, Alien, come home. E.T., come home. Paul Scheer, come home. However, since he's gone, that means we can still keep doing some kind of fun stuff. Today, we have a very special, fun episode of Screen Test that we did live on Twitch a few months ago that is space-themed. We're keeping it in the family. It is our George Lucas episode of Screen Test. And as you know, Screen Test is our game show where we invite beloved people. If you're listening right now, you could be a beloved person. You could come on Screen Test. And we just have this crazy, weird time challenging you with impossible questions and making us all think creatively about movies and brainstorming and performance and all of it. I just think it's like so fun. I adore doing it. And we have some amazing guests, of course, for our Star Wars George Lucas themed episode. None other than the three hosts of the George Lucas Talk Show. The George Lucas Talk Show sounds self-explanatory. You're like, oh, it's a talk show. George Lucas is there. Yeah, that's how it goes. Oh no. These guys are so much stranger than that. They're twisted and weird. I've had fun being on the George Lucas Talk Show myself, and now I get to have more fun bringing them into our dark web of game show madness and destruction. So without further ado, let's get into some Screen Tests.
What's up, Amy?
Hello, Paul.
I am so excited that we are here for a very special Screen Test Star Wars edition crossover event with the gang from the George Lucas Talk Show, which if you don't know about that, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you don't know anything that I just said, if that all sounds completely foreign to you, this is a game show, a movie game show, where you don't have to know that much about movies. It's more about having fun.
Well, you can get mocked if you don't know that much about movies, but we're here just to party, man. It's a Friday night. I'm feeling like torturing some guests with really hard questions. I'm in a great mood. I'm here to hear the brilliant brainiac things that the people in the chat have for us, because we've got some questions for y'all too.
Yeah, we are going to make you a very big part of the show. You'll get to control some of the show. And to maybe start us off, let's kind of get into this actually very important breaking news that happened today, Amy. I don't know if you knew about this, but did you hear Lucasfilm announced today that they are making a brand new Salacious Crumb film? You know, you remember Salacious Crumb. He was, you know, part of Jabba's palace. Maybe he was a pet. Maybe he's a friend. We don't know. All I know is that he looks a little bit too close to Rizzo from the Muppets, which, you know, I think if you look at him side by side like that, it's you know, we know they were made by the same people. But anyway, if Rizzo is going to have his own spinoff, we want you in the chat to give us a title. What would the, sorry, Salacious Crumb spinoff B. What would it be called? We know that the Book of Fett is coming up. We had The Mandalorian. What would Salacious Crumb's spinoff movie be called? People are just jumping in. Crumb, maybe confusing with that documentary about R. Crumb. I hear that. This one is called, let's see here, Citizen Crumb. I like that. Good one there.
I think anything sounds better if you put citizen in front of it.
Well, this one is pretty good to do. The Way the Salacious Crumbles.
I thought I was going to go the Way We Crumble.
I like that one too. How about this one? Salacious Crumb and Crummer. So that's more of like a comedy road movie. I like that. It's Crumbling Time. Who is Salacious Crumb? Maybe an old shout out to the John Candy Who's Harry Crumb film, which I talked about on Unspooled last week.
Can I just say, I'm sort of, I feel a little bit let down that there's not more wordplay with Salacious.
Yes. Salacious is now coming in for Salacious Skies. I like that. This one, Salacious B. Crumb and Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. Planes, Crumbs, and Automobiles. Forest Crumb. Salacious Yum, and What's Eating Salacious Crumb. Okay, you guys get it. You get it. This is the level of questions that we will be doing on this game show. I like it. Amy, is there anyone that jumped out at you already that you like? Anyone that you want to maybe award? Do you want to award a winner in the chat already?
I'm just sad we didn't get Salacious Crumb in the Pick of Destiny.
That would have been pretty solid, a pretty solid Tenacious D. Do you like any? You don't. I'm going to say What's Eating Salacious Crumb. I feel like I like it. It's more of an indie feel with Salacious Crumb. I feel like that's going to be good.
I mean, from where he's living, I think any number of things could be eating Salacious Crumb.
Well, he's definitely eating a lot of stuff that's falling off of Jabba. People, welcome to the show. This is Screen Test. We are doing a live Star Wars themed episode. And if that makes you want to change the channel, don't. Because this episode isn't just going to be fan service. I mean, Amy, you are not a Star Wars fan, right?
I feel like a goldfish who has always existed in a world in which there was a Star Wars. I can neither like nor dislike it. It is just the water that surrounds me.
Okay. I like that.
Is that like midichlorians?
Oh, don't bring up. Let's not even go there. All right. Well, what makes today's episode actually kind of really special is that we are doing this show crossover. Today, all of our guests are the geniuses behind the George Lucas Talk Show, which airs every Sunday night on Twitch on Planet Scum Live. It's all one word, Planet Scum Live. So let's meet our contestants. Are you ready, Amy? Boom. Here they are. Welcome them all. Oh, my gosh. This is great. Hello, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hello, guys.
Hello, how are you?
Good. We are so excited that you're here. We'll meet you all individually first.
As individuals, we see you that way.
Patrick, you are the producer of the show. You keep the whole thing running. You are, for people who don't know, a lot of the stuff behind the scenes, you are also very much on camera, but you actually are doing a lot of work behind the scenes to make this show go. Marathons, everything. You're controlling the strings.
Yeah. I'm the booker. I'm the producer. When this show was a live show, I was not an onstage presence. And then as soon as it went to Twitch, I was forced to become an on-screen presence.
It's working for you.
Which is fine. Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, all right. So we're going to ask you a question to get to know you. Obviously, we already know you from the show, but who would be in your Star Wars crew? If you could pick anyone from the Star Wars universe, who would be in your crew? Wow. Like, who are you hanging with and what are you doing with them? Are you, are you smugglers? Are you working, you know, you're working stormtroopers? What is your, what's, yeah, who are your people?
I mean, listen, I if this is a totally fictitious world where I am not anything like the way I am in real life, I want to be hanging out in that cantina, you know?
Okay,
I want to be hanging out with Ponda Baba, Walrus Man himself, and Dr. Evazan. You know, they have the death sentence on 12 systems, and I want to be a part of that.
Wow.
But realistically, I don't think that would be the case.
I like that answer. I love it a lot. All right, Patrick, we are now going to meet. We're going to go now meet our next contestant. All right. Welcome, Griffin. You play Watto on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you are also the co-host of the very popular Blank Check podcast, which How Did This Get Made just did a crossover event today with about the Justice League, much to many people's, at least on our sides, they were not happy that we liked that movie at all.
No, I was prepared for that. I also felt like we really, I don't know, qualified our positive thoughts for that movie. And even still, I feel like sometimes people tune into movie podcasts and just want to hear their general opinion mirrored back to them as loudly as possible and angry if there is any distinction of difference.
And we did not do that, and people are upset. But Blank Check Podcast, if you've not heard it, is great.
Yeah.
Watto is fantastic. You might also know him from The Tick, which is also a hilarious, amazing show on Amazon, which you can still watch. That's the best part about it.
I always plug it because Bezos hasn't taken it down yet. It still exists.
Bezos might take it to space.
He could. I also want to say, Paul, you were saying that people were upset about how vaguely positive all four of us were on Justice League. I also saw the two major complaints about the episode were Blank Check fans upset that the episode was too short.
Yes.
And How Did This Get Made fans upset that the episode was too long.
We really could not find the balance. When the last time we did a How Did This Get Made Blank Check crossover, I think the show was 4 hours long.
It was the longest episode we've ever done. Yeah, on our feed. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Did y'all take breaks?
No.
Yeah. I actually took a conference call in the 4 hour one and then came back and continued.
Yes. Correct.
But Griffin, same question to you. Mm. Who's your Star Wars crew? You know, who are you hanging out with? What are you doing with them?
I mean, I'm kind of torn here because I'm thinking I really do love the Muppety side of Star Wars. I feel like that's a real dividing line for some people is they get more and more out of Star Wars, the more and more Muppety it becomes. I've always really liked the Muppets in the universe, but I feel like the Muppety characters are also more chaotic. I do think probably in terms of temperament and how I would feel and what I would want to survive in the Star Wars universe, I think C-3PO and R2-D2 are kind of my gang. Like, I do feel
like
that's
guys.
That's the pitch I'd be operating at. Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that. C-3PO is my favorite character. I feel like he gets dumped on constantly, including by the people Thank you.
I don't know if you can see this, but I'm wearing C-3PO glasses. My glasses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you a droid in this world? Are you a droid here, Griffin? Or are you like
Absolutely.
A human?
I'd love to be a droid. I'd love to be a droid. If there were a way for me to become like a robot, an android, a cyborg, if you will, I would sign up with zero hesitation. I have no interest in my human body.
There's very good news for you about the future of mankind. I think you might get your wish eventually.
All right. And finally, let's meet Connor. Connor, welcome. You are not only George Hello. Lucas, but you on the George Lucas talk show, but you have a highly acclaimed podcast called Dead Eyes. You've seen him on everything from Kimmy Schmidt to Mrs. Maisel. Like you're up and about and everything. I'm excited to have you on the show. And I'm also excited to hear how it's been because this show started at UCB, which is the Empire Citizens Brigade Theater in New York. And then this pandemic hit and then you moved it over to Twitch. What have benefits, deficits of like not having a live audience to going to like a weekly show? I mean, was it a weekly show in New York? No, right?
It was a monthly show. It was originally a monthly midnight show.
Right.
And then eventually in the last couple of years, it became like a 7:30 on Friday show. But we very quickly, I mean, the main difference is just the amount of show we are able to do now because we would do 1 hour once a month. And I think in the first 2 months of doing it on Twitch, we had surpassed the amount of hours we had done in 6 years of shows.
It is yeah. a great show to watch. It is wild. I went on that show a little while ago and jumped into a challenge that seemed so easy, which was to eat two pieces of bread, white bread, which I didn't have. I had whole wheat bread without anything else and under a minute. And I swear to God, I almost died. I thought I was so confident. I had figured it out. I did not figure out. It expands. It was terrifying. It was a terrifying moment for me.
Wow.
I do not recommend that people try this because it does. I've never tried it. It seems like a real choking hazard.
It is. I was literally standing over like the sink in my bathroom. Like, I was like, if I die, like, and I think the house was empty that night. I feel like June may have been away with the kids. I was like, if the last appearance in my life is the George Lucas talk show where I'm eating bread, like I would be happy if the last appearance was George Lucas talk show. It was that I did some sort of challenge, like I died from eating bread. It would have been awful. It would have been a terrible way to go.
Yeah, because to people who don't know, they're like, well, it's not even a George Lucas thing you're doing. It feels unrelated, you know?
It's not even, I would say, a known challenge. It's not like you're eating cinnamon. You're inventing a way to die.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you survived.
It sounds really easy. I mean, I'm not to be a jerk, but I'm like, that's the kind of death where you're just going to encourage a lot of people to die because they'll be like, I don't understand how he died. And then you have a lot, you're going to be in heaven, like welcoming bread people left and right.
Yeah, I like to think there's a special room in heaven where all the bread challenge people can hang out and be like, man, we didn't think this was possible.
Mm-hmm. All right. So same question to you. Who's your crew? What are you doing in Star Wars world?
I think I'm a music. I think I'd probably gravitate toward the performers. I think I the character I relate to the most is Joe Yauza, who sings Jedi on Jedi Rocks. Mm-hmm. I think that's I think there's video of me performing that's pretty one-to-one, that kind of performing energy. But I'd rather perform. I don't want to work in Jabba's palace. I don't want to work in the underworld. Okay. I'd want to work in like the cantina would be as low as I'd sink as a performer.
You're kind of like a John Tesh. You're performing at the Red Rocks of Tatooine. Like you have a nice steady crew, but you're not like, you're not working under someone's thumb. You have your own album. And
would
stuff.
You sing at that like douchey casino where all the rich people are in
Canto Bite?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I performed in a venue almost a year ago that was basically in a real depressing way. I would perform in Canto Bite within a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. All right. I love this. Well, gentlemen, welcome to the show. And we're going to get off with our first round. It's a quick fire round. Amy, you want to set it up?
Yeah, this is a rapid fire round. We are going to play a game called Mustafar Musings, which is just Star Wars for hot takes. And this is how it is played. Since you guys are the show that talks about Star Wars, we want to hear your hottest Star Wars take. The one that most shocks us gets the point.
That's right. So you have a second to think about it. You have to know your players here to shock them as well. So give us your hottest Star Wars take. Shock us. And it has to be something you believe. It can't just be something that you made up. Like this is about you. What is your hottest take? Whoever wants to go first can jump in. I know that
I'll go. Darth Vader is an unimpressive villain.
Whoa. I like it. Laying it down the gauntlet.
He's got a lot of attitude, but until the end of Rogue One, Darth Vader has very few actually impressive things that he ever accomplishes as a villain. It's his fault that the Death Star blows up in the first Star Wars, and he's the only survivor. He fails upward throughout the original trilogy. and then he ultimately kills his boss. It's just like, this guy's not, he's always talked about as the ultimate bad guy. He's not. He's a real failure.
All right, I love that. Starting off hot. Who wants to go next?
Patrick, I can go next.
All right, great.
All right, what do you got, Patrick?
Yeah, I think all of the Star Wars movies that George Lucas were involved in my head, range from pretty good to great.
Wow, okay. Whoa, pretty good to great.
Not a single stinker?
I think there are stinky parts to some of them, but I think on an overall scale, I'll take pretty good.
Pretty good. So the worst George Lucas involved film is pretty good. All right. I like that.
I think there's good stuff in all of them. Pretty good stuff to great stuff in all of them.
I like stinky this. Stuff, okay. Like a little bit of blue cheese on an onion tart. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
All right, Griffin, it all comes down to you. You have two very hot takes to follow here. Mm-hmm. What do you got? What do you think?
I mean, I'm trying to even just figure out the right way to frame this thought.
Okay.
Because there's been so much discourse, the fandom menace people, these bad faith people who think the problem is that Lucas no longer has control of the franchise, that he's the only one who should ever be making Star Wars. I feel like George Lucas is responsible for 25% of Star Wars, even just within his lifetime, within his range. I feel like people give him far too much credit for everything they like.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think if you actually read about the development of Star Wars and the amount of people who had to get in there and step in front of George and modify what he was trying to do, or the amount of things he had to change because they weren't feasible, they didn't work out well the first time, I do think that George Lucas is given too much credit for Star Wars, which was a very, very collaborative universe.
Wow, every step of the way. Oh, I like this. All right, so Amy, these are three hot takes. Darth Vader is not impressive. The worst George Lucas Star Wars is pretty good. And George Lucas is truly only 25% responsible for the Star Wars that we know and love. Each one of them hot. But which one do you think is the hottest take?
You know, I thought I had my mind made up. And I'm just going to say Griffin's argument for the collaborative process. It warms my heart. It
Marsha Lucas, baby.
I want people to know. Marsha Lucas, baby.
Marsha Lucas, baby.
Absolutely, Marsha Lucas.
Movie would have been incoherent without her. Never would have gotten a single sequel.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know me. I always want to. No, sorry, Connor. If I see like a big Titan, I just want to punch a little hole in his side. I want to take down that Death Star. So I'm sorry. That's what I'm doing. I'm going with Griffin here.
All right, Griffin gets the point. Yeah, he gets the point. He's on the board. So put on your Hoff Parkers, Parkas, and set up your tauntauns because your Star Wars screen test has begun. We are going into, let's see here, round one. Show us what you know.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
All right. Boom. Round one. Here we go. We're going to show you guys three categories. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the categories are, let's see, I'm going to put them up here on the board. They are super secret troopers. Then we have a get out your data pad and ILM milestones. So there we are. They're just up there. And now, Griffin, because you have your point on the board, tell us, what is, which category would you like to pick?
I'm going to choose get out your data pad because the data pad is, of course, the key accessory that the Watto action figure comes with. And I happen to have a human-sized data pad dry erase board right here.
Whoa. All right. This is very good. And Amy, this is a special category.
Boom. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Griffin, you just unleashed the character double.
What?
What does that mean, you say? I can see it in your eyes. I see that confusion. Well, let me tell you. It means we are about to meet somebody special who has a special challenge. And a correct answer to their special challenge will get you, Griffin, double points. 2 points for the cost of 1 point. But however, to make it more challenging, any of your fellow contestants, Patrick and Connor, they can also buzz in if they know the answer before you. They can steal your points by waving their little fingers and getting a right answer. Are y'all ready? I think y'all are going to need some data pads on this one, man. This is tough.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. This is going to really get you. And it's going to be as hard as this transition from Paul to full-on character. Watch this. Hello, everyone. I am your data banker. You must complete this simple mathematical problem using only seemingly simple Star Wars knowledge. Unlike some of my friends, I do have a good feeling about this. Now, here we go. Take the number of films in the Skywalker saga, add the number of original directors of those films, don't count anyone twice, then times it by the number of apprentices a Sith Lord can have at one time, minus the number of letters in Jabba's first name, and then multiply that by the number of Chewbacca's family members waiting on him on Life Day on the holiday special. I'll repeat this one more time. Here we go. First, take the number of films in the Skywalker saga, add the number of original directors from those films, don't count anyone twice, times that by the number of apprentices a Sith Lord can have at one time, then minus the number of letters in Jabba's first name, then multiply that by the number of Chewbacca's family members waiting for him on Life Day in the beginning of the Star Wars holiday special. If there's anything you would like me to repeat, I can definitely repeat it. Very complicated, even as to say it out loud. Okay, oh, yes, what do we have?
27?
27 is correct! That's right! That was amazing. There are 9 films in the Skywalker saga. There are 5 directors. George directed 4, J.J. 2, Ryan 1, Irv Kirshner 1, Marquand 1, and then you times it by the number of apprentices a Sith Lord can have at one time. That is 1, minus the letters in Jabba's name, 5, and then you multiply that by the number of Chewbacca's family members waiting for him. That is 3. That's Mala, Lumpy, and Feather Atachuk, which is his father-in-law, or father, unknown. That was it. 27 points. Connor, you are on the board with 2 points. That's amazing. Amazing.
Can I tell you guys where I got caught up?
Yes.
I was like, is Jabba's first name not actually Jabba? Is it a longer name? Hard. And I was like trying to figure it out. Yeah.
It's a trick.
That was good. Very good,
Connor. Can I just say, I was not told that math would be involved. I feel a little tricked here.
I have to tell you, that it felt horrible to do it because I realized I haven't really done math in decades. No. Not really.
No.
I stayed on this math problem for so long, going over it, making sure it was right. I was like, this is okay. I was like, please check my math on this. Well, that's the hardest that the show will get.
Thank God.
Is it? I don't know if that's true, but we know that Connor's going to get to find out because Connor is now on the board. 2 points.
The longest part of that was me not wanting to get 9 times 3 wrong. And I genuinely was like, I'd rather lose than get 9 times 3 wrong.
Well, then Connor, this also means that you get to pick which category you get to go next since you just stole Griffin's points from right underneath him. Do you want to go to Super Secret Troopers or ILM Milestones? Or ILM Milestones, as we like to call it.
I'll go to ILM Milestones, even though it's the one I'm probably... I feel unconfident about it, but I'm going to be adventurous.
All right, Amy, take it away.
I will. Well, as I'm sure you know, Connor, Industrial Light and Magic has been at the forefront of filmmaking innovation. Now, my question for you is, which of the following historic milestones did the geniuses at ILM achieve? Was it A, they developed the iMoCap system, which uses computer vision techniques to track live action performers on set? B, created the first completely computer-generated character? C, used real-time rendering and digital LED displays as a virtual set? D, all of the above? Or E, none of the above?
I'm gonna take a wild guess and say that I think it's the first one, but I could be completely wrong on all of this.
You are correct. correct. You are correct in part because, yes, in 2006, ILM did develop the IMO cap system in the creation of Davy Jones and the ship's crew in Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest. However, you are wrong because in 1985, they also created the first completely computer-generated character, the Stained Glass Man in Young Sherlock Holmes. In 2019, they used real-time rendering and digital LED displays as a virtual set for The Mandalorian. So alas, Connor, the correct answer was D, all of the above.
But you are still in the lead. You're still in the lead with 2 points. So there's nothing to fret about here. I mean, the most that can happen really is that that Griffin and Patrick get caught up here because, you know, right here, Patrick, it is your chance. This is your shot here.
I'm ready.
To pick one. All right. So you have your category is super secret troopers. All right. Super secret troopers. All right. It seems like anyone who is anyone could cram themselves into a stormtrooper costume if they are friends with the director. We're going to give you 4 actors. 3 of them had secret cameos. 1 did not. And let's open it up. They were cameos in the film. They don't have to be stormtroopers. They are just in the film. Okay, so we're going to give you 4 actors. 3 of them had secret cameos. Let's see here. We're going to even give you a chance to get more points. If you can name the actor in the movie, we're going to give you an extra half point here. All right, so here we go.
Okay.
Here are the 4 actors. Treat Williams, Dominic West, Roger Moore, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Which are the 3 that were in Star Wars?
Treat Williams, Dominic West, Lin-Manuel. And I can tell you who they are, too, if you want.
Yeah.
You ready?
Oh, my gosh. Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Treat Williams plays a soldier on Hoth. A rebel soldier on Hoth.
Wow.
Dominic West plays. Oh, is he like a queen? He's like one of Amidala's guards.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
And then Lin-Manuel is a X-Wing fighter pilot in Rise of Skywalker. But then he's also the voice of the singer in Maz's Cantina.
Wow, that is phenomenal. I mean, Amy, he got it all. That was no time. He got the whole thing. I mean, what are we going to wait? We got to give more than 1 point there. I mean, I think we get half points for each one of the things. I'm just going to say we should give him 3 points right out of the gate. Right. I mean, why not? Why not just throw it down? Just like upset the whole apple cart there. I just think the speed of it.
I was going to say 2.5 points, but you always make me the Grinch.
Can I give one of the halves of one of my points to Patrick? Because I was just impressed. He got it all right, and I wouldn't have.
The way that Patrick, the way that you just, no hesitation whatsoever, I feel like the 3 points have to go on the board, which puts you in the lead. And that completes our first round. We're going to go into our performance round next.
We are now going into my favorite round, round 2, the talent competition, where each one of our 3 contestants is going to have to show off a skill that they are very good at, or that they can at least do with bravado. Now, Griffin, you have the least amount of points on the board, alas. Yeah. Yeah. Right now, as a score recap, we have Patrick with 3, Connor with 2, Griffin with 1. But since you are underdog, you do get to go first, and your category is called Endurance Test.
Yes, this is okay. We talked about this on the George Lucas talk show a while ago. It is, you said, release the Brimley cut, which was the Wilford Brimley cut of the Ewok movie, the made for TV Star Wars movie. Disney Plus finally agreed that they are going to release this cut. It's the Battle for Endor and Caravan of Courage. And we're going to give you a chance today to inhabit the role that Wilford Brimley played as Noah. A cantankerous hermit who doesn't take too kindly to finding a little girl and an Ewok in his home. Amy will be playing Sindel Tawani in this classic TV movie. So to set the stage for people who have not seen it, basically Sindel and Wicket are in this little hut. They are they're kind of playing a little bit like Snow White. They're cleaning it up. They're having fun. And in comes Wilford Brimley. He is not very happy. Amy will be playing Sindel. I will be playing Wicket. And you, Griffin, you will be playing the role that Wilford Brimley originated. Do you have your script in front of you?
I do. I am so glad I didn't save my mustache. This was strategically good, smart decision. I didn't even know. Okay.
All right. So here we go. We can start it off. Amy, take it away.
If someone lives in here, they sure are messy.
Hey, how did you get here?
He brought us here.
Look here, you little bug lover. I told you I don't want any strangers around this place. Look what you've done, and you don't even know who they are. Who are you?
My name is Sindel.
Who's that?
Wicket.
Wicket. Humph. You've been messing with my stuff. You brought them here. Now you get them out. I don't want them here. Get out!
We have no place to go.
I don't care about that. Take him and go. Go on.
Come, Wicket. He's just a mean old man anyway.
Skedaddle! And I'll deal with you in a minute. You don't know who these people are and what they're up to. It could be some kind of trick. I know you get lonesome. You think I don't? What's this? What's this? Huh? Some kind of porridge? Well, look here. Some muffins? Let's have some. By golly, this looks good. Dig in. Don't let me catch you giving any to those little buggers outside. I'm going over to that stove to get me some more soup. And whatever you do, stay where you are.
Wow, end scene. Wow, that we really personified that role there. That was great. What a tense scene it is. He really takes no prisoners when he comes in there to yell at a young girl.
Yeah.
He goes after her pretty hard.
Can I just say there was a typo in how this was transcribed in the email, and I was very tempted to read it with the typo because I thought it made the scene more interesting. So can I do the alt quickly?
Please. Yes, I would love it.
Okay, so here's the alt. So you have this for the edit if you want it, okay?
Yeah.
Wicket, humph, you've been messing with my stuff. You brought them here, now you get them out. I don't wang them here. Get out.
Mister, what's wang?
It is true that he does not wang them there.
He does not want to wang. He doesn't want any wang there. I'd like
not to be wanged. That sounds terrible.
It's mutually agreeable.
Wilford Brimley is an agreeable guy, but I like that he really took this moment to let his anger erupt on a young girl in a cute Ewok. Amy, I gotta say. Look, this is a tough thing. We haven't seen this movie in a long time. For me to even transcribe the scene, I had to go on a very weird, kind of a porn site to even access it. Like, my screen was full of pop-ups that were incredibly disturbing to watch.
Is that how the typo happened?
By the way, it seems like it may have been all, tied together. I want to say that I think what I love here is that Griffin went with the typo, jumped on it. Found it. There's even another typo. I said soup and porridge. I was typing it as quick as I can. I'm not a good typer. There's a lot of things going on here. You can get 5 points. You got to do the scene with him. I mean, I'm saying at least 4 points. I feel like I was in it. I was living it. Do you think four or do you think more?
I think what really knocked me out was his delivery towards the end. Like from channeling Brimley to really settling into Brimley. Like his patience, whatever you do, stay where you are. I felt that. And because I felt that, I'm going to go 4.5 points.
Wow, 4.5 points. The chat is behind you. They say 4.7 and five. People are saying five in the chat too. All right, so 4.5 points. We're going to take it. 4.5 points. That is a very good score, Griffin. That is great. All right, Amy, who are we going to next?
Well, Connor has the second least amount of points for now. So now we're going to go to him.
All right, Connor, this is a good one. When we asked you, like, what was your skill that you wanted to show off here today? You all actually said the same thing. You all led with, like, bullshitting. Bullshitting was one of the things that you really felt like that was something you're going to be very strong in. We couldn't give you all bullshitting challenges, but we kind of directed something to you that I think will kind of work in this way. So, Amy, you want to set it up?
I do. This category is called Make Your Luke Case. Where, Connor, because you are a man known for hot takes, in this challenge, you have 90 seconds to defend a Star Wars hot take. It might not be one you believe in, but you have to defend it with your life anyway.
Okay. This is great.
Now, you are not going to get to pick your hot take. However, here's the problem, Connor. At Screen Test, we are going to pick the hot take that you have to defend. So in this challenge, you are going to have to try and sell us on why Rise of Skywalker is the absolute best Star Wars film. You have 90 seconds to convince us that Rise of Skywalker, absolute tops, to convince us and yourself.
Go.
There's no such thing as a perfect Star Wars film. That's one thing that we should say right off the bat. Any criticism you level at any Star Wars film, you can essentially level at all of them. I would argue the reason that Rise of Skywalker is the best of them is because the character that we start out with, C-3PO, has his best material, his best single plot line in any of the movies in Rise of Skywalker. He is written for impeccably, both comedy and pathos, and I believe it is a tour de force both in the writing of the character and the performing by Anthony Daniels. It's heartfelt. You feel something. But it also, for a character who in many of the films is very annoying and the comedy doesn't work, I think the comedy consistently works in Rise of Skywalker. Now, everybody has their favorite parts of any of the movies. But I truly think that he is the unsung star of the Skywalker saga, the non-Skywalker. He's basically a Skywalker, the purest Skywalker, in that he's built by a Skywalker, and that's the end of the Skywalker saga, is C-3PO Skywalker's final sacrifice, his funniest scenes, his best moments.
Wow. I like that. Yeah. This is very good. And you did it with under time. You did it with only a minute and 15 seconds. I feel like you made a very, you just jumped in right away. Can we just to put it under the microscope, how do you really feel about Rise of Skywalker?
It's fine.
Okay. I feel like Rise of Skywalker is a movie that when you go to, like, the only reason I think about this is, like, sometimes when I go to, like, an Indian restaurant, they play Bollywood movies on the wall, and you look at it, you go, oh, that looks really cool. I should check out what that movie is. I feel like if this movie was projected on a wall, I'd be like, ooh, that looks really cool. I got to find out what that movie is. And that's, visually, it lives in a place that I'm like, yeah.
I think Rise of Skywalker looks better than most other Star Wars movies visually. I think it has some amazing, like, if you turn the sound off, you'd be like, oh, I can't wait to see this movie.
Yes, I agree.
I do genuinely believe everything that I said about the C-3PO plot. He probably has a slightly better plot in Empire, but I think it is a character who has at various times been an annoyance to me within a Star Wars movie. Or a supporting gear at best. And I was surprised and impressed by what a good final film C-3PO got.
Wow. I like this. Okay. I want to actually drill into this, if you don't mind me taking some space. Yeah. As a C-3PO head, as a person who, when I saw Rise of Skywalker, put on a C-3PO tattoo, because to me, feel like he is the underappreciated character of the entire franchise, as you pointed out. However, I hated the way he was treated in that movie. Everybody was so mean to him in Rise of Skywalker. Like, people who just met him. Like, fucking Poe Dameron is coming up and like, you're a piece of shit. Poe doesn't even know him. Like, why? Poe doesn't get to tell him he's a piece of shit. Like, C-3PO is always right about everything. And everyone's like, fuck you, nerd. Like, that's the number one thing that drives me nuts about that franchise. And I thought Rise of Skywalker was the most mean towards my beloved character.
But nobody said that Star Wars was about fairness. I don't want to see a Star Wars film in which, thankfully everyone was treated well in that Star Wars movie. That's my lowest ranking for a Star Wars movie, is everyone got a fair shake. I think, what do you expect from Poe? He got the whole Rebel fleet killed in Last Jedi. Of course he's being shitty to C-3PO. This guy's got a lot of problems, you know?
I think
that there's a lot of really good C-3PO jokes in it. I think the joke of him not being a, like, oh, it's a shame that I can't tell you, but I know the information, is a great, like, comedic
reveal. That was a great joke. I thought that was a really funny bit. By the way, people in the chat, what do you guys think for Connor here? Amy and I will discuss as well. I thought it was a very clean argument. And I feel like, you know what? What I liked about it, too, is he took the last film, but tied it into why it was good to sum up the entire Skywalker saga. You know, I think that was a really strong point. I felt like it wasn't winking, which I think is important with the bullshitting channel. Here.
I mean, I think he came in strong with, like, what are we here for? What are we even looking for? What is a good star? You know, he set a bar on purpose that gave his argument a framework.
I like that people in the chat are universally saying 3 points. That is really what we're getting here. People are not going to give him the full 5, but they're giving him 3. And I think maybe just to upset him. What do you think, Amy? You think 3? The chat is definitively 3. It's like it is.
You know what?
Someone in the chat also said, I don't like seeing George out of character, which is a very funny way to think of who I am. Right now, I'm just George out of character. I've lost all personal identity.
To defend my beloved Golden Knight, I'm going to go with 3 points.
All right, 3 points. Boom, you got 3 points there. And then we go on to our final performance round. Patrick, here you are. Like we said, everyone chose bullshitting. And you know, and I think singing was a little bit further down on the list, but we are going to give you a singing challenge.
Great.
And this is something that may be near and dear to your heart, because I know that this was maybe the way that the show used to start back in the day. This is going to be called...
we're going to call it Walk Song.
Yes.
Know? Like rock, but like with a W. Is that like, is that be like the, like, I guess, oh, now I'm turning into Star Wars. It's like, how do you do a rock, but it's a W? But, or now yeah, it's Star Trek. And yeah.
Like, yeah, Walk Song. Walk. This is, walk is basically...
Yeah. Like those. Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
So we all know that the Ewoks have a beautiful language and even a more tranquil song. We would love for you to sing the original Ewok celebration song. We know that you know it. We sent you the lyrics in the chat so you can see it. You can sing it any which way you want. I have a backing track. If you'd like to have the backing track, you could do it a cappella, whatever you prefer. We are set here to make you do it the best way that you want. What would you prefer?
I'm just going to sing it without the backtrack. Here we go.
Okay.
Yub nub. Eat chop yub nub. Otto meet tochi pt kini. Goop doc. Fling ooa, yawa, ichop yawa, ato mito pichi kini, gnoop doc, fling ooa, koti chantu abnum, koti chanu yawa, koti chanu glawa, alelute nuv glawa, ichop glawa, ya glawa, pichu ni tu foam, atu. Di awe gunda, koti cha tu gu yab nub, koti cha tu gu yawa, kochi ka tu du yacha, ale tu tanub, ale tu tanub, ale tu tanub, glawa, e chop a glawa, ya glawa pichu, ni foam, a tu di chua gunda, ale tu tanub.
Wow. First of all, the reactions on your friends' faces were the best part. Just cutting to Griffin throughout that was really my favorite part of that.
That was really impressive. That was really impressive. I was sold by your passion.
I
appreciate that.
I mean, that's like I'm trying to get Patti LaBelle off the stage. Yeah. And Patti LaBelle's like, I'm not leaving the stage. I'm still singing. Mm-hmm. Like,
Patrick likes to play the reluctant performer, but all he wants is more stage time.
Yeah.
People in the chat, what do you think this should do? What do you think? I mean, people are already saying 5 points. People are saying 0 points because you pulled the bait and switch, Patrick. And then, all right, some fives, some twos, 69 points, 5+ points, 10 points, 4.3, 5. People want encores. Mm-hmm. For the most part, some people are trolling you and giving you low numbers. But I feel like the result here is a 4. I feel like the 4, people really want to give you a 4 for this. I think jumping in like that is pretty solid. I want to give them a 4. What do you think, Amy?
I want to give them a 4.1 since we're really getting into decimals.
I love it. All right. So what is our scores right now? Do we know?
With that, then our scores are dun dun dun. We have Connor with 5, we have Griffin with 5.5, and we have Patrick with 7.1 points.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
And we are going into our final round. Gentlemen, this is it. You're going to work together here to build a movie, a Star Wars film. Okay. And to do that, we're going to get a title from the chat. So chat, come up with some titles. We'll come up with our best one. So you're going to build a film. And the way you're going to do it is each one of you is going to take a little part of it. Amy and I are going to kind of direct it. And in front of you, you'll have two secret clues that you have to incorporate into this pitch of a brand new Star Wars film. So your partners don't know it. But you have to incorporate it in. It may derail the movie. It may not derail the movie. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. You may and try I know to derail the movie to make it harder for your fellow contestants.
Yeah.
To get that movie back on track.
I have seen a lot of great stuff here. Again, we're getting a galaxy's edging, darkness in the force, Snatrick points more. Let's see. Graga, a Star Wars story, Boss Baby Yoda, From a LaBouche, which is shut up in French, Star Wars 10, Forced to Live Together, Ackman Toreador, Two Jedi, Two Force, Gorgrismo Checks In, Jedi High School. You know what? But I think there's one here that I like, Amy, that I feel like is actually one that could be enough to handle what these guys can do. And this one will be called Darkness in the Force. That is from Wandering Frog. Darkness in the Force is your title. Darkness in the Force. And here we go. You guys are gonna have to build this out. Anything that they should know, Amy? Anything?
Yeah. Everybody's going to get to go twice. So you have 2 seconds to talk. You'll talk until we decide that you're not talking anymore. I think we should let the person... Let's see. Who should start first? I think we should let Connor start first. Let's do this in reverse point order. So Connor will start first, then we'll have Griffin, then Patrick, and we'll go in that loop twice.
All right. I love it. So all right, we will call you off. We'll kind of direct you, say, okay, great. Next one. And I'll let Amy kind of conduct here. And all right, take it away, Connor.
All right. First of all, this Star Wars film takes place before any other Star Wars thing by millions of years. It is the earliest possible Star Wars story. We start off with a sort of like the space version of like a cave woman, played by Anna Taylor-Joy from Queen's Gambit.
Oh yeah, I like her.
And we are seeing the beginnings of what would be in the Star Wars universe, early man. And so we're seeing sort of the beginning of midichlorians. The first shot is midichlorians. We see that midichlorians are the first thing that existed. And we zoom in tighter and we see the wills as well, which we've never seen before.
Never seen
and
the
then
wills.
we see these early prehistoric characters who are sort of lumbering around. It doesn't quite look like the beginning of 2001. It's not quite that. It's a little bit different. It's like a little twist because they're all wearing hats. So it's a little bit like you might think you're seeing 2001, but they all have these like, and they're not hats like we know. They're hats that are a different sort of shape to any hat that you would see on Earth in the 20th century or the 21st century. But other than that, they're completely primitive. It's as if the hats are part of them. It's as if they are something that they were born with.
Oh,
I like this.
All right, Griffin, take it away from there.
Okay, so they're investigating the hat, right? And then suddenly there's like a weird flash, okay? There's like a flash of like lightning, and out of it comes like a weird robot suit. And then the mask opens up and it's Greg Grunberg himself, Snap Wexley, our favorite character from the Disney franchise. And he's going like, am I too soon? Am I too soon? I came here to warn you. And Anya Taylor-Joy is like, what is going on? So she like touches her hand into the lightning, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, she gets pulled forward. to the end of Rise of Skywalker, the celebration. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's this like cave lady, and now she's stranded in the middle of the latest point in the Star Wars cinematic timeline as we know it. And there's an exclusively gay moment, right? There are two women kissing.
Yes.
She's just like, what is going on here? I'm so flummoxed by everything. So she just starts wailing on everybody, right? It's like right after the ending of Rise of Skywalker, and everyone's like hugging and having a good time. This is what we didn't see, is that she just comes in and starts fucking roundhousing everybody.
Whoa, okay, Patrick, now what?
So she's roundhouse kicking everybody. Everyone's fighting. It's really bad. Like she's getting, her butt kicked and she's kicking a bunch of butt. They're fighting. She's getting ready. She's like, I need to get out of here. I need to find someone who can help me get out of here. She turns around, grabs the first person who she sees. She whips him around. Who is it? It's Lin-Manuel Miranda, the X-Wing pilot. He goes, you got to come with me. We got to get out of here. So they get into Lin-Manuel's X-Wing. It's a specially retrofitted X-Wing. So it's more like a snow speeder. So she's got the back seat too. Like she's sitting behind Lin-Manuel so she can fight out the back. They take off into the sky and they're like, oh my gosh, we forgot. We just beat the Emperor and all this stuff. So there's still a bunch of Star Destroyers and stuff in the sky. We need to fight them. We're going to take them on one by one. A gigantic battle happens where it's just them versus the Star Destroyers. And you think they're not going to make it. And they almost don't. Lin gets shot and he dies. So Anya Taylor-Joy takes the ship and she blasts out of there. And she goes, where can I go? There's only one place that I know. And it's the planet Batuu, because that is where she was from.
Wow.
It's the planet from Galaxy's Edge. That was where the beginning of the movie took place. So she goes there now, and she goes, I don't recognize any of this. This is all different. There's a bunch of shops here now. You know, she goes to a cantina. She walks in. She goes, I need your help. I am in trouble. I've created a bunch of enemies with the I guess, you know, she doesn't know what the rebellion is, but she describes to them and they're like, this is the rebellion. And they're like, OK, yeah, you can just hang out with us for a while. So she starts working at this cantina. She becomes like the new, you know, bartender at this cantina, at Oga's Cantina, which is a place in Galaxy's Edge. And she just like kind of works there for a while. It sort of becomes like a Cheers almost. Where, you know, you're just like meeting a bunch of people who live around that bar and work there.
This seems like a good moment for me to tag Connor in. Now what happens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at this point, our lead character learns a surprising fact. She's called back into the office by the manager by the owner of the cantina, said, you've been doing a great job, but there's something that you didn't know all along. And at this point, he reveals himself. It is Emperor Palpatine. And he explains that this was his plan all along, including his death in the final battle at the end of Rise of Skywalker. They flash back. He says, come with me. Let's go back to the beginning. They travel back to the beginning of the timeline. And the Emperor projects onto a glowing lake every single Star Wars story that we've seen before. We see the prequels. We see Rogue One. We see A New Hope. We see all of the Star Wars animated TV shows. We see Star Wars Detours in its entirety, the unreleased comedic adventures. And the Emperor says, don't you see? It was all about the experiences that we had along the way. Don't you understand that to fight a Star War is to be alive. I'm not a bad person. I am someone who made life interesting for people. Did I do bad things? Yes, occasionally. But I also did a lot of good things that I didn't get credit for because I did them anonymously. And he starts showing scenes from the saga where he secretly helped make good things happen. And he said, you see, if you just look for the bad in people, then life is not worth living. You have to look for it. And he said, and then beautiful. He quotes, he says, it's like I said when I was pretending to be Rose Tico.
It's not about
fighting what you hate. It's about fighting for what you love. And then the Emperor takes off his old man thing and it's Rose Tico underneath.
Wow. What? All right. Well, we get the
Okay, Griffin, now what?
Okay, so Anya Taylor-Joy is like reeling from all of this information, right? and Sheev Tico has tried to like reframe this all as a positive, like there was necessary evil here. But she's sort of doing like the checks and balances, and she's like, a lot of people died, like a lot of war happened, a lot of tragedy happened. I don't think this is worth it. And she just stares Sheev Tico straight in the eyes and goes like, you need to stop pushing your political agenda upon this narrative. You are ruining Star Wars. And she takes her and she throws her into the lake where all the Star Wars stories have been projected. And she's holding her down under the water in full force. And as she's gasping for air underwater, the reflections of the future of Star Wars, all the films, Detours, the original 39 episodes unreleased, all of it starts like dissipating, right? Like it's all like falling away like pond scum upon the water. And suddenly she sees a new future there and she holds her down. She goes, yes, this is what must be done. Star Wars must end. It is time for Star Wars to end. And as she finally pushes and holds her down one final time, the water goes crystal clear and she stands up and she brushes off her hands and she goes, I am free. Finally.
Wow. This is
everyone is free.
This is pretty intense.
Patrick,
bring us home, Patrick.
So then she goes back to the bar on Batu and is like, well, I guess I run this place now. And it's kind of just it's setting up the future movies where she is just running this bar on Batu. And you think it's just going to be like a nice little slice of life movie. And all of a sudden, what comes up on screen for the first time ever in Star Wars history? To be continued.
Wow.
Directed by George Lucas.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, in the history of doing the show, that is the best movie pitch that we've ever heard. We went from microscopic to Cheers. The movie seemingly takes place through every piece of Star Wars canon. So that's going to be a long film. We're going to see the whole thing, or maybe the characters see the whole thing. There's some stuff. People in the chat were loving this. You guys pitched the hell out of it.
You did. There's a little bit of Planet of the Apes in there because I never lost sight of
Prometheus.
Connor's brilliant idea of taking us to the beginning of Star Wars. I feel like from each of the three of you, I learned what you want from a Star Wars movie that you haven't gotten yet. And that was beautiful to me. I'm very inclined with Connor's belief that I want to burn it all down, start fresh, and like go to a different part of the galaxy and see something new.
Can I just pitch one Marvel bumper at the end that's going to blow everyone's mind? The people wait through the credits. It's been long. This movie takes days to watch. It really is it endures this. But you sit through the credits.
39 episodes of Detours,
And some people are starting to think like, oh, there better be something. I sat through these credits. There better be something. We see two hands writing in a journal, the end of the story, to be continued, ... it closes. It says the Journal of the Wills, at which point the camera pans up. We see Will Smith and Will Wheaton. And they say
that
they look at the camera and they say it was just our journal.
OK, now I want to say in the name of fairness, I think Patrick and I should each also get to pitch.
Yes.
At this point, we have to.
Whatever we're doing.
Yeah,
sure. Go ahead, Griffin.
OK, so. there are more credits for like five minutes, right?
That was the first of the stingers. Now there's more technical credits.
Right. There are more credits and people are like, I think there isn't another. We can leave now, right?
Yeah.
Because this is opening back. Everyone's been vaccinated at this point. Movie theaters are safe.
And we're so excited to be in the theater anyway. We're like, well, let me just stay for the whole credits just in case. More, yeah.
Okay, so someone's like starting to stand up and everyone's like, no. And they look back on the screen and it's like super desaturated now. It's all like piss yellow and smoky. And you're like, where are we even? What's going on here? Okay. And then someone like turns around and it's fucking like post-apocalyptic Luke Skywalker, right? And he's like, we can't give up now. We're almost there. And then you look and you see his gang behind him, and it's fucking Snap Wexley in the metal armor, okay?
Whoa.
It's like, it's fucking Jar Jar, but Jar Jar has six tongues now. He has, like, multiple tongues coming out of different parts of his body. It's fucking Wolford Brimley from the Ewok adventure. He's part of the team now. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Babu Frick, right? But he looks dead inside. Like, he's gone through shit.
Wow. This
and,
is
and they're wow. like, what's going on? They're like, we're so close. We need to make this right. We have to make sure that Star Wars never exists to prevent this future from ever happening. And then they look, and over on the side, there's like someone, their back turned to the camera, sitting atop the hood of a car, and they're like, go talk to him. And he's got like a vest on, like an FBI vest, right? And a straight jacket.
Yeah.
And Luke like carefully walks up to him, and he's like, come on, let's finish this. And the man turns around, and it's George Lucas. And he says, I've never wanted anything more in my entire life. And by the way, it says damaged on George Lucas's forehead. Even though it didn't say that previously, now it does.
Wow. This is okay. This is whoa. I mean, Patrick, yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have a post-credit sequence after that?
So I feel like this movie's been really heavy so far, especially with that last credit scene. And that's not something that you want to leave the audience on, right?
Yeah.
So the credits roll up, you know, sound done at Skywalker Ranch, all this stuff, THX logo goes up, black. All of a sudden, spotlight, and you see an intergalactic piano. You see a hand come down, and he starts playing. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Camera pans up. It's Palpatine. And he goes, making your way in the world today. And then the camera spins around, and it's Dexter Jester. And he says, takes everything you got. Camera spins around again. It's the Rancor Keeper, taking a break from all your worries. Camera spins again. It's little Anakin. Sure would help a lot. And it's just all of our favorite characters from throughout all, geez, what are we at now? 11, 12, 13 movies at this point? Everyone shows up. You get every single line of dialogue from the Cheers theme song. Even the ones that aren't in the show. You get, roll out of bed, version, Mr. Coffee's dead, your shrink ran off to Europe, all that stuff.
Because a couple of those lines are questionable. Do they do the questionable lines as well?
Yeah, there's some questions.
Yeah, it's Star Wars. They do the questionable stuff.
They leave it in. But you get to see everyone. And it's like the ending of like, what's a movie that ends with like a song and dance? Mamma Mia 2, where like, I feel like Nutty Professor ends with like a song and dance. You know, it gets everyone excited.
This
to be like, man,
huge.
I love Star Wars again.
And it ties into the whole Cheers thing that you guys were talking about. I mean, Amy, it's so hard to pick a winner here. I mean, obviously there's a lot of points given out the entire time, but they really all brought it here in this final round. I mean, do we want to just judge it simply on the post-credit sequences? I don't know. I mean,
honestly, I think this one is so brutal that I want the chat to decide.
Okay, the chat is going to decide who is our winner tonight. And as they're deciding, I wanted to let everybody know that Connor's two things to add was that he had to add in Anna Taylor-Joy from Queen's Gambit, and also that the lead finds out a shocking fact. Griffin had to add in that there's a problem that our lead character is stranded, and that there's a cameo by Greg Gumbrig, Snap Lexley. Patrick had to bring in that a battle happens and set us up for a be continued. So that's what they did. They all did all those things very, very well. And people are going here. People looks like, okay. Oh my gosh. It's very tricky to see. All right. Now I feel like the winner. Oh my gosh. I'm looking, it's going back and forth. Let me see a little bit more. Griffin seems to be the winner.
I think it's Griffin.
It's Griffin.
I'm the king of the world.
It's Griffin. Griffin, you are the winner of today's Unspooled Star Wars, George Lucas talk show. Game show, you will get a pen. We always send our winners a pen, and we'll send you all pens because you guys were here with us today. You all get a pen. People really enjoyed the damage, George. They feel like that put it over the edge. Yeah. This is so much fun to be here with you all. I want everyone to follow you on social media. You can see where you all are. Listen to Blank Check. Listen to Dead Eyes. Watch the George Lucas talk show every Sunday night on Planet Scum Live. Follow them. See what they're up to. The guests are ultimately, they're always amazing. Like last week you had on Rich Sommer, Darcy Carden, Jason Mantzoukas, right? The week Zach before Harry, that. Yeah. Like the week before that you had the guy who played one of the Boba Fetts, right? One of the guys in the Boba Fett suit, not Jeremy Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
But,
Don Bees. Yeah. Don Bees.
There's so much fun going on there. And, look, in a random week, you might even see me try to kill myself on that show.
Bread challenge.
The bread challenge is still there for anyone who wants to take it. Screen test,
and I should say people can watch all the old episodes on our YouTube page if you want to go back and search for past guests that you want to see. They're all
People are upset that this show is only an hour. They're like, this is too short for you guys. A big thank you to everybody who helps put this show together. This is a production with association with Unspooled, hosted by Amy and myself, produced by Amy Nicholson, Paul Scheer, Devin Bryant, and Molly Reynolds, and Josh Richmond. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Connor. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Griffin. It was a pleasure. You guys were so much fun. All right. Bye, everybody. See you later. Bye-bye.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, it's Jason Mantzoukas, wishing Scott and everybody else of all stars and stripes a happy 15th anniversary, Comedy Bang Bang. You goddamn did it. Eat shit. Hang on, man. Comedy Bang Bang. Comedy Bang Bang.